You're listening to Taps Family Radio. It just doesn't get any cooler than this. When the strange becomes reality, when the light becomes dark, when you open your eyes and the monsters are still there, that's when you want your family. Welcome to the safest place in the paranormal world, Taps Family Radio. They're the family you always wish you had. Your hosts tonight are Tim Ellis of the Upper Peninsula Paranormal Research Society of Michigan and Chris Perkins of the Atlantic Paranormal Society, interviewing the biggest names and tackling the subjects you want to hear about only on Jackalope Radio. They're not your average family, but I guess that's what makes them fun. Here is Chris and Tim.
Good evening. Welcome back to Taps Family Radio on a Tuesday evening, my friends. A Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Holidays. Happy whatever to all. Thank you for being with us tonight as we are joining you on this Tuesday after the Christmas. It is Tim Ellis and Chris Perkins with you on Taps Family Radio, heard every Tuesday night here on Jackalope Radio. My name is Tim Ellis and my co-host is Chris Perkins. Merry Christmas, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you, Tim. Merry Christmas to you. How was it for you?
We had a great Christmas. I was a little worried because I don't, you know, you... White Christmases probably aren't much of a thing for you guys down there, down yonder. But for me, I'm a traditional kind of guy. I need the white Christmas. And I was panicking because we were having very mild weather. And the day before Christmas Eve, we got just enough to blanket the ground so you couldn't see the grass anymore. So technically, we had our white Christmas. So I was real happy about that. And it was great. It was great with family and friends. So how about you? Good Christmas?
Oh, great Christmas. We didn't have snow, but the last 2 years we did have blizzards. So I think we were kind of ready for one of those you didn't have to worry about traveling and all of that. So.
Right.
Just enjoyed it with the kids. And I'm to that point, you know, when you have little ones, you're just so excited about Christmas, about all their toys. But I'm to that panic stage now where mine are getting older and my oldest will be a senior next year. And I'm thinking, oh, no, you know, he's growing up and leaving home. And so I just really value all of these holidays and I get sappy and I cry and they just know now. They look at me and I have that look on my face. And so, you know, I just value these moments, I think, a little bit more than I have in the past. We had a great Christmas. And my son did his own Christmas shopping this year. My oldest did, with his own money from his job. First time he's ever done that. So it was kind of neat to see him taking that on. Nobody asked him to do it, but he went out and bought gifts for everybody and did a great job. He bought me one of those, I don't know how to say it. Is it Keurig coffee makers? You know, that you put the little pods in and
Yeah.
Awesome thing. My brother told me his changed his life. I think I know what he's talking about now. It's been awesome to have. So, you know, we had a good Christmas and just a lot of things that were kind of special this year.
That's good. That's good. You know what, though, and I know you don't want to rush this too far along, but as your kids get older, remember, eventually the grandkids are going to start coming around, and that's going to make Christmases all the more special again for you.
You know, I liked you a lot before you said that.
I said not right away. Not right away. That's down the road.
Well, and right. I'm sure those will be fun, too, but, oh, gosh, you know, next year's going to be rough. He's a senior, and my youngest goes to junior high, so I'm going to be emo all year long.
I hear you. Hold on to those memories for
That's
sure.
Right.
Absolutely. And Santa was really good to me. I was really excited because I got an iPod Touch for Christmas. I don't have the iPhone, but I do have the iPod Touch. And so the first app I went and downloaded was the Taps Family Radio app from our
website.
Yes.
How was it?
It was great. It was the first one I downloaded. As soon as it was done downloading, I tapped on it and boom, Jackalope Radio was playing and all of our podcasts were there and it was fantastic. So I was really excited, and that's why, you know, I'm telling our listeners, make sure you get on over there to our website at tapsfamilyradio.net, and right on the right hand side in the column, you will see the iPhone app for Taps Family Radio, and it's download for free. So you can just get on your iPhone or your iPod Touch. See, I'm not real hip, but I know what I'm doing with it. And just type in Taps Family Radio. It'll find our app. It'll download it for free. And the good news is the app for the Droid is coming, and we're going to have it in 2012 real soon.
That's awesome. And, you know, not surprised it's the first app you downloaded. I'm jealous because I've not seen it on the iPhone, I guess, platform is what you call it. I have seen it on Android. It rocks. So I'll have to grab one of those iPod Touches. I didn't even think about that until you said that. I'm going to have to grab it and look at it there.
Yeah, so you can check it out that way. So get on there. If you got the iPod Touch, anything that has an app for iPhones and iPods, you can get it now. And then the Android's coming real soon in the first part of the year of 2012. So we are high tech around here, my friends. Now, we got something very cool that we're doing here tonight. Instead of our strange news from around the world and odd news, we wanted to do something very cool with the end of the year coming in 2011 and the New Year's on the way. We wanted to kind of look back in some feel-good stories from 2011. This, of course, was your idea, Chris, and I applaud you for that. I love this idea. So let's go ahead and take a look at just a few real good feel-good stories here of 2011.
All right. Well, you know, this one was one that I honestly started out thinking it was just going on in one or two places. And I know everybody's heard about it, but I'm not sure we understood the magnitude of it. This Christmas, there were these layaway angels going around paying off people's layaways. I know Walmart started having their layaway again, and several stores, just with the economy the way it was, opened up layaway, whereas they didn't have it in the recent past. And so these layaway angels would go in and just, you know, tell the people that they wanted to pay off people's layaways for the holidays. And it spread. It picked up and it literally was going on coast to coast. And, you know, some of them, what I liked, they would go in and say, pick the ones that have the most toys. They wanted to make sure they were going to children and all of that. So I thought, wow, that's just really great. There were people that went in and would pay off. Well, I know they said that one guy went in to pay off one layaway and they presented him with like 10 of them and he couldn't pick one. So he just paid off all of them.
Oh, jeez.
It was just amazing. As I went on and read about it, I was just so surprised that it went on literally coast to coast. They said, you know, all the way from up in like Maine, New Hampshire, all the way to California, and that I think Sears and Kmart had a total of $450,000 in layaway accounts paid off nationwide.
Wow. And I do know we got word here at the radio station that I work at here in Michigan. We received word that our local Kmart, one of those layaway angels hit there. So it was really cool to hear that.
That's amazing. And what a great idea. There were even people going in, paying off the layaways, and then matching, like they'd pay off $1,000 in layaway and then buy $1,000 gift cards and just go hand them out in line. Not you know, $1,000, but $1,000 worth of gift cards and go hand them out in lines to people who were going to go cash out, pay out. So.
And I think that's fantastic. And I always tell myself, and I would hope that I'm that type of person, that if I ever came into enough money to be able to do that, and maybe someday when I'm older and I know I don't have to go buy what I need, you know, my needs and wants will be a lot less as you get older. That, you know, I would like to be able to be that person someday, you know, that secret Santa that goes around and does stuff like that. What a great story.
Wouldn't that be a great feeling? I'd love to do that too.
Here's one, Indonesian girl. We almost forget it's been so long ago since 2004 when the tsunami happened. An Indonesian girl was swept away in 2004 by that tsunami that hit, and she lost her family immediately. She was picked up by this woman who, quote-unquote, adopted her, basically took her in because the girl was just 8 years old at the time. She really didn't know enough about her family. She didn't know her relatives' full names or anything to help anyone find her way back home. So this lady took her in, but the problem was the lady was making her go onto the streets and beg for cash and food.
Oh.
And, yeah, just kind of put her into that type of life. And then When it got to the point where the girl's kind of rebelling and wasn't bringing in what the lady wanted her to, the lady basically pushed her out into the street and said, go, you know, find your family. Here in 2011, just this past Friday, she was reunited with her family after all these years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. As soon as the lady kicked her out into the street, and again, this was from 2004 to now, so she has age. She was old enough, 15 years old now, as a matter of fact. She knew her grandfather's name, and so his name was Abraham, and it just so happened a taxi cab driver in that town knew of an Abraham. So she brought him to this guy. He didn't recognize her, but he called his kids right away. And the girl said, as soon as her mother showed up, they knew immediately that that was their child, and she knew those were her parents.
Oh wow! I just can't even imagine, because by that point, you know, you have to kind of have given up a little bit of hope.
Well, that's what the parents said that they did. They said we had given her up for, you know, lost, gone, kidnapped, or you know, dead. And they had stopped looking for her years ago. So what a great story.
Wow. Nice ending to that one. And
absolutely.
Wow. Good story.
What else we got?
Well, the one I have, you know, sometimes feel-good stories don't start out so good, but it's nice when you can take something that's not good and turn it into something positive, and that's kind of what this story is. This story is about a little girl named Rachel Beckwith, and Rachel, for her 9th birthday, decided that instead of gifts, what she would rather have is everybody to donate money, because she wanted to raise $300 to help donate for clean water projects for third world countries and places like that. And she fell a little bit short. Her birthday came around. She was a little bit short on the money, but she did raise, you know, quite a bit of money. And then a few weeks later, she was injured in a car accident and ended up passing away from her injuries. Oh. So news spread of the fact that she hadn't quite made her goal, and people started donating money. I think donations just poured in far beyond their wildest imaginations. There was a deadline. There was a website that she used to help her raise the money, and there was a deadline for September 30th. This started in June. By September 30th, $1.26 million had been donated in this little girl's name, in her memory, for clean water projects.
And she wanted to raise how much?
$300.
$300.
Wow. So what a way to take a tragedy and turn it around and make it something worthwhile and something good. Not worthwhile. I mean, this little girl did lose her life, but I'm sure her family would much rather see something like this happen in her memory than you know, nothing to happen. So,
right. Yeah, absolutely. And then our final story here tonight, reading this, I got choked up. So it's going to be tough for me to get through this without getting choked up, because there's my heroes, day in and day out, is our military. You know, my father was in the military. My grandfathers were in the military. I've always looked up to our military men and women. And when you hear the stories of the wounded soldiers coming back and how they have to try to reacclimate their lives to civilian life again, but while doing it while getting past their whatever their happened while they were in the war. The stories like this just break my heart. But there's a guy out there, and one day his friend comes to him and says, my son, he's 20 years old. He was a U.S. Marine. He's coming back. He's been wounded. I need to refix his house. Can you give me some pointers? He was just going to go in and lend some pointers to help this guy build the house. When he started hearing the story and seeing the pictures of his friend's son and what the war had done to him, he said his heart broke at that moment, and he realized God was calling him in a different direction. So to this day, he has put together no pun intended, but an army of carpenters and plumbers and suppliers who have taken on these jobs now, and they build homes for wounded soldiers who are coming back, and they give it to them mortgage free.
Wow.
Now, they've only been able to do a handful of them since they've started this project, but they are getting this to go beyond Houston now and beyond Texas, and this is going to become a national thing where these homes are being built. And it also covers taxes and insurance for the first 2 years as well. With wow. donations from suppliers and contractors, they can build a $300,000 home for $25,000 to $50,000 because of all the donations. So,
oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, more people should take that kind of lead. Can you imagine if everybody took the initiative and did things like that?
No, that's just it. I mean, and that's why I was so glad you wanted to go ahead and, you know, that's when you wanted to do these feel-good stories. Because so often, the news, I mean, as sad as it is, there's a saying in media, if it bleeds, it leads. And that's the way newspapers and television news anchors and everyone does their stories. It's the shock value that they try to get people with. So all we ever hear all day long is the sad and the news that makes you angry. Great job in wanting to share these stories, because I think this just sometimes we've got to be reminded, sadly, that there is that other side to the news out there too, that there's good things going on. There's great people in this world who are doing these kind of things.
Absolutely. We can't forget that. And that's just why I wanted to end the year on a good note.
Absolutely. So there we go, sharing the positive stories of 2011. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it is our TAPS Family Spotlight with Wichita, Kansas coming our way. So we'll be right back from TFR on Jackalope Radio.
You're listening to TAPS Family Radio. Tim and Chris are taking a potty break, and we'll be right back. Tired of wondering where to get the best ghost hunting gear at the best price? Wondering if you're being ripped off or if the product is high quality and can last the rugged life of a ghost hunter? Your fear and search is over.
Creepy Hollow Gear is the home of ghost hunting gear made by ghost hunters for ghost hunters. Founded by Paul Bradford of Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters International, Paul wanted to create a place where all the equipment was proven and tested in the field. Some even built by Paul and his team, making Creepy Hollow Gear the only place you can get some of this equipment. Check them out for yourself at www.creepyhollowgear.com, where you'll find a place that is set up for teams and enthusiasts who aren't inclined to build their own equipment or kit. A site that has the top gear at prices a team on a budget can afford. A place where people can try new equipment and technology. That's www.creepyhollowgear.com. Ghost hunting gear made by ghost hunters for ghost hunters.
Hidden in the shadows of Dublin, the small and unassuming area known as Carlow, Ireland, holds a haunted history that you may not know about. The town dates back to before Ireland's written history, but now its haunted history has been written and recorded by authors Cormac Strain and Danny Carthy. Haunted Carlow takes you on an eerie and fascinating journey through pubs, cafes, private homes, and schools. Go to hauntedcarlow.com. or Amazon.com to get your copy today and see a side of Carlow, Ireland you never knew existed.
Welcome back to Tats Family Radio on this Tuesday evening. It is Tim Ellis and Chris Perkins with you, TFR. And once again, don't forget you can join us in our chat room on our website. That is tapsfamilyradio.net. Great way for you to ask questions for our Taps Family segment, which is coming up, or our guests later this evening. So if you're in the chat room, feel free to ask questions throughout the night with us. And also, we just played a little song there, a happy birthday song. If you were just listening now, and that was on purpose, Chris. There's someone out there who's celebrating a birthday. Is that correct?
That's correct. Now, we actually celebrated this birthday a couple of weeks ago, but you know when you're turning 40, I mean, can I say that again? When he's turning 40, 40, the big 40.
Okay.
That's right. When he's turning 40, we need to celebrate it a little bit longer because, you know, he may forget or something like that. So
Don't you start to forget at 40?
I think so. I forgot. I don't remember when it started, but I think it was 40. Our founder, our leader, our commander-in-chief, Jason Hawes, is turning 40 today.
Happy birthday, Jason.
Yay. Happy birthday.
And some might want to know who that voice is coming in from the background, so let's get to it. It's time for our Taps Family Spotlight here, Chris. Who do we got with us this evening?
Well, tonight we have Sherry Curry and Bob Gilmer. They are both from the Wichita Paranormal Research Society, just north of me. Sherry and Bob, are you with us?
Yes.
Yes, I'm here.
There they are. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Did you have a good Christmas?
Yes. I got paranormal equipment for Christmas presents. So,
oh, that's a good Christmas when you get the toys.
Freaking awesome.
You know, our Christmas lists changed, I think, when we all got involved in this field, didn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
It's a little strange when we all want things like, red
batteries.
LED flashlights and things like that.
Lots and lots of batteries is important.
That's right. Rechargeables. Hey, those, we're not going to be picky, but if Santa's going to bring some, let's get some rechargeables, right?
That's right.
Well, Sherry, tell us a little bit. First of all, you're case manager for Wichita Paranormal, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And team founder is Shane Elliott, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, I know you guys have been very active in TAPS family, and I've always appreciated your enthusiasm. I can always count on you guys to participate with everything that we do. So tell us a little bit more about your team, how your team got started, how long you've been around, those kinds of things.
It started in 2007, and what happened was Shane was looking for some answers to a paranormal activity that happened in his home, and he actually never really believed in ghosts or spirits or anything like that. And when this happened, the next morning he didn't say anything to his wife, and she happened to be watching Ghost Hunters on TV. And any time that would be on, he would, go out in the garage or something. He just wasn't interested. Well, this day, he sat down and watched. And that particular case, they debunked all the claims. And he said, wow, that's what I want to do. I want to learn about that. And he hunted and searched for somebody here and couldn't find anybody, and he had looked in Oklahoma and was actually going to join an Oklahoma team. And instead of doing that, he went on the meetup to meet some of them, and then it just formed into a team from there. They convinced him to start his own team because he knew, because of all the research and things that he had done, he knew pretty much more than anybody else locally knew. So he formed a team, and it's mutated and changed, of course. People come and go. And now we have about 15 people on our team. Sean Reeves is one of our tech guys. Bob, who's also on the phone, our tech manager. Donna Chafin. We have a few people that are very, very new that we're training. We have several great people that, people that you can trust. So it's just kind of mutated over the years, and we're really, really happy with those that we have right now.
That's awesome. Teams do that, though. They change and mutate. Like you said, I like that word. They do mutate and change.
Yeah. Well, they do. They do.
It happens, and sometimes it's within the control of the team leadership, and sometimes it's something, external that happens. And I see a lot of teams really start to freak out when that happens, and really I think every team just needs to look at it as a chance to step closer to pulling the team together in even a better way. Each time my team has kind of started changing, it is a little unsettling because you're like, oh my word, we have all these cases planned and, there are a few changes taking place. But I will be honest with you and tell you that each time it has turned into something very positive for my team. And I think, when teams look at it that way, it can be a very good thing.
Exactly.
As long as
when you have the amount of people that we have, we're and the amount of cases that we have, we're able to train people where we can trust them and send them out on an investigation and split the team and be able to handle two investigations in one night rather than just one a week. Sometimes it's two a week that we're doing. So when you form a team that you can trust people to handle clients, I think that's important. That way, if you have an emergency and you need to split the team up, you can do that.
Right. That is very beneficial for a team, especially I know there are peaks and valleys as far as the demand throughout the year. But when that heavy season hits, you know, it is nice to not have to make people wait to be able to accommodate multiple investigations and things like that. That's terrific. Really good thing.
And, you know, we have life and things like Sean. He's very, very involved in the Boy Scouts with his kids. And, you know, so there's sometimes when he's just not available because he's doing that, well, then someone else can take, you know, step in his place. And you need to smack Sean because he's talking about Fraggle Rock on the chat room.
I see that. And for those who are wondering, we do have a chat room and there is kind of this extra conversation going on there. Hop into our chat room. Just go to www.tapsfamilyradio.net. The chat room is there and you can throw in some questions.
Cub Scouts. Sorry, Sean.
See, you missed
something. The point is, we all have our lives, and even though a lot of us, you know, investigating the paranormal is our passion, but you still have a family life too, and sometimes life gets in the way and you're not able to get on with a large team like we have. We're able to still address and help those clients.
You know, that is one thing that even it's hard sometimes for us to remember. We do have lives and we're active in so many different ways outside of the paranormal. But when it comes to somebody who, you know, that's very little comfort when there's somebody who's terrified,
yes.
You know, that you've got, you know, my son's in Boy Scouts and, you know, so I know all those things. I have a football player that travels around and does football games and, you know, I'm doing Taps Academy and there's just so many ways that we're pulled these days, you know, that it's nice when the team is large enough that you can accommodate those people quickly. You know, that's always really nice. Now, you guys, I know, are a busy team. I know that you've got a lot going on. You know, we do communicate a lot through Taps Family, and I know that you have a documentary project going on. Would you care to fill us in on that a little bit?
Sure. Well, Bob, why don't you talk a little bit, and then I'll chime in.
A full-length documentary / movie, a little bit of behind the scenes and then of actual investigations. But there's a lot of cool places here in Kansas that, you know, most people don't really know about, old hotels and just buildings and stuff. And they're pretty much the stars of the movie, even though we're in it, but it's about the locations and bringing people closer to what we do. You know, we get to see these huge hotels that were built back in the 1800s. And we're doing three different locations throughout the state of Kansas. And we're planning on putting it into the film festival here in town, hopefully by next year. And just getting the word out on what we do and just trying to get people interested in it. Because they was like, you're a ghost hunter. Well, what's that like? And to actually show people what it's kind of like, you know, what it's really like in not just on TV where you only get a half an hour show, but like, you know, we spent 3 days at this one location and you get to see the whole full setup and the actual investigations and all evidence review and all that kind of stuff.
You know,
it's a lot of work. And
I think that part right there is so valuable to people because I know that they see snippets of setup and teardown when they're watching the TV shows. But, you know, we've said so many times that people watch the shows, they get enthused, they want to go out and investigate, but they're so ill-prepared. And that whole setup part of it can take a lot of time and planning and preparation. And so for you to offer something for them to be able to, I think that's great. You know, people
can see that. And some locations, it takes over an hour to set up.
Right, right. And depending on how unique the place is, I know that like some theaters we've gone to are a little bit of a challenge as far as how to, you know, set up our cameras and be able to have them connect to home base and things like that. So there's a lot of thought and planning that goes into some of these places, especially the large
ones. Especially when there's no electricity. You know, we're out in like a military fort and we've got to run hundreds and hundreds of feet of cable, you know, and electricity. Just to get power to our, you know, our DVRs and our setups and stuff. That takes, you know, 45 minutes right there trying to figure out where the power is.
Oh, absolutely. We've done those before where we had to run generators and move the generators way out so that they're not a noise contamination issue. So, yeah, you know, the more unique the location is, the harder it can be to plan that. But, you know, I love hearing solid teams that are going out there and setting good examples. And I know you guys are such a great team and we get such good feedback from you that it's good to know you're going to put something out there that really reflects well on the field in general, not just your team, but the field in general. You can go to YouTube and put in, you know, paranormal or ghost hunting and get a whole bunch of really bad examples. And so it's really nice to know that you guys are going out there and you're doing something positive to kind of really show what it really can be like when it's done right. So that's right. A good thing.
And we've been doing it for so long, and that's one of the number one questions we get asked. Is it like TV? I mean, is it you sit there and 10 minutes into the investigation, things are flying across the room and all this, but it's not. In real life, you sit there for 4 or 5 hours with absolutely nothing happening.
Absolutely.
You get one split second of something, and then the rest of the night, nothing happens. So, you know, it's like fishing. You know, 85% of the places we go to, we get no evidence at all. You know, it's not haunted or nothing happens, but we're only there for a split second in time. We're only there at a place for like 8 hours where the people live there their whole lives. So we might miss it. It might take 2-3 times going back to a place to try to figure it out. And people don't really get how much work is involved. Like Sherry, she spends, you know, almost all day long is paranormal. You know, she has a job where she can work plus do paranormal stuff, and people don't realize how many hours it takes just to set up an investigation.
Oh, you know, I have said it a million times. If I've said it once, a good case manager is worth their weight in gold, because it's a job that often runs people off. They don't realize how much time goes into it and how it can be so draining. You have to have so much empathy for people, and it is a genuine thing. You know, you want to connect with your clients and you want to make sure that they know you're there. It can't be anything that's faked. It truly can't. And you put that into your clients, each one gets that. So if you've got 20 clients you're working, that's a lot of work and a lot of time. So we can run good case managers off. So I'm always very, you know, very impressed when a good case manager can juggle all of those things and hang in there. So kudos to you, Sherry.
Yeah, Sherry. How many times a week do you hear? You're not going to believe this, and you're going to think I'm crazy. But you know, that's how most of the conversations start out. You know, you're going to think I'm crazy when I tell you this.
I always say
like, no.
No,
you're not.
Yeah, you're talking to the wrong person. We've heard it all.
Yeah. You're not going to say anything that's going to shock us. We've heard it all.
It's true. We're very, I don't want to say numb to a lot of things, but it's going to take something big anymore, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
Well, I don't want to leave out the fact that you guys do a lot of charity events, too. Can you tell us a little bit more about that before we run out of time? I want to make sure we hit that.
Sure. Well, with the documentary that we're making, a couple of the locations that we're hoping to share them with and share with the public, the money for selling of tickets at the theater will help restoration of the theater or help restoration of the hotel. Also, we have a new place that we haven't investigated yet, but it's a local theater that has I ran into one of the directors at a TV show that Shane and I have been doing once a month and taking questions and answers from people on live TV. It's called Your Hour. And this theater is raising money to help restore it. And we're planning on investigating that a couple of times to see if we get anything. And if we do get something, then we'll do a public reveal, and then that money will go towards helping restoration of the theater. We also, this year will be our fifth annual event for Cowtown, raising money for Cowtown. And that's the old Cowtown Museum. It's called a living museum. And what they've done is they've moved actual homes and buildings to this museum, and people dress up in period clothing and show what it was really, really like in the mid to late 1800s. And we've investigated there many, many times over the years. So we raise money for them. There's also the Wichita Cedric County Historical Museum here that is a beautiful museum that we're now raising money for them also, because they're only ran by donations, people that come to the museum and donate money and items. We're helping raise money for that museum also. And we've also done throughout the year raising money like in for adults that want to be a guest investigator. We'll have an auction, and we'll donate that money to the Cancer Association. We've done that the last 3 years. We've also done a similar thing for the Orpheum Theater, the beautiful Orpheum Theater here, where they'll do an auction, a silent auction, and someone will bid to be a guest investigator along with us at that theater. So that money also goes to help restore that particular theater. So we're busy, busy mixed doing these things along with our regular investigations.
Well, and like I said, you're one of the busy teams. I see stuff from you guys all the time. But, you know, as TAP's family manager, it just makes me very proud to see that we've got teams like yours among our ranks, because you're not just, you know, out for your team or even your clients, who you are, by the way, serving very well, but you're also out there for your community. And I mean your local community and your paranormal community by, you know, doing your documentaries and things like that. So we just couldn't ask for better teams. Great job. We're always so, so, so pleased with you guys. And I'm fortunate because I get to put my team with your team and with another TAPS family team. In April, we're going to co-investigate a great location in Arkansas with RVPRI, River Valley Paranormal. And then we'll get to work together with Academy in September, which we will have an announcement about that very soon on our website.
So excited about that.
I am too. A lot of great things coming up. I'm so glad to get to work with you guys. I wish we had so much longer to talk to you. This just flew right by. But Bob, Sherry, thank you so much for being with us tonight. You know how to get a hold of me if you ever need anything else. But until then, I look forward to working with you guys in April.
Thanks for having us on.
Anytime, you guys.
There we go. Bob and Sherry from Wichita, Kansas, one of our many great TAPS family teams out there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got our headliners for you this evening. You're going to love our guest tonight. That's coming up next on TFR here on Jackalope Radio.
You're listening to TAPS Family Radio. We'll be
If you are in need of a professional, experienced, and confidential paranormal investigation at a home or commercial location, the International Paranormal Reporting Group is ready to talk with you. For more information about us and other services we offer, or to interact with team members and people just like you, visit us online at IPRGC.com. That's IPRGC.com. The International Paranormal Reporting Group is a proud TAPS family member.
You're listening to TAPS Family Radio, where the weird is normal. The TAPS family is truly international. If you live in the Peninsula of Fife on the eastern border of Scotland and feel you may have a haunting, there's help. Scottish Paranormal, a proud TAPS family member, is a scientific-based paranormal research team that is dedicated to the study of the unknown. Helping individuals, families, and business owners over the past 6 years, Scottish Paranormal is ready to help you. Their work is confidential and no charge for service will ever be asked of their clients. If you feel you need the help of Scottish Paranormal, then go to their website at www.scottish-paranormal.com. co.uk.
Yeah. South Coast Paranormal Tours. Dare to explore the unknown.
South Coast Paranormal Tours invites you to explore the haunted decks of the Star of India. We'll show you the paranormal hotspots, then we'll turn off the lights and let you be a part of your very own paranormal investigation.
Visit us online at scparanormaltours.com.
South Coast Paranormal Tours. Dare to explore the unknown.
Evening. Tim Ellis and Chris Perkins with you. Thanks for tuning in to TFR on Jackalope Radio. And again, we remind everyone they can join us live in our chat room this evening on our website at tabsfamilyradio.net. And then right on the top of the page, you'll see the button that says chat. Feel free to click on that, and that'll take you to our chat room. Now, Chris, real quick, we forgot to do this before we went to commercial break. For Wichita, Kansas, Bob and Sherry and the great team out there, we forgot to give their web address.
We did, and I really want to make sure people have it. They have a great website. They can check it out at www.wichitaparanormal.com.
All right, there you go, wichitaparanormal.com. All right, we are very excited to be bringing in our guests here this evening on Taps Family Radio. These are two ladies I got to first meet back in last summer in August as they were here for the Michigan Paranormal Convention. They are a psychic channeler and a psychic art, and that was the first time I had ever heard of psychic art being used in a psychic reading, and that's why I'm so excited to get the get our guests on here this evening so we can talk about psychic art, psychic channeling, and how they work together. Please welcome to Taps Family Radio, Rochelle Sparrow and Courtney Kane. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you so much for having us, Tim and Chris and the whole TAPS family. We so appreciate being on.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, so let's jump right into this because, well, I mean, as you ladies know, because you're out there, you've got your names on the front line, and let me tell you, your names are starting to a lot of people are talking about Rochelle and Courtney and the work that you guys do, and I was so glad when Mark Tetlow first turned me on to you guys, and let's talk about what you do, psychic channeling and psychic art. How does this work? Now, Rochelle, you do the channeling. Courtney, you do the art. Why don't we... Please explain this to our listeners. How does this work together?
Well, what we do is you could actually see what we do on Your Hour Power, our radio show. But what we do is I channel in information from my spirit guides that help people move into a more aware state about whatever energy is inside of them that is blocking them from living their most fulfilling life. So we bring a lot of psychological information to the foreground through our particular work. So while I'm channeling in the information, Courtney also is channeling in information from her particular guides, as well as she gets symbolic images, which she's going to speak about, that really help people visually see what needs to be shifted in their particular life so that they can move toward a more aware state of who they actually are and move toward also healing whatever particular blocks may be inside of them that need to be addressed.
You know, I was wondering so much about that. I can see how that could be, you know, a useful tool. Is there something that also goes along with that that will then help them learn how to use that picture that's drawn for them? Are they shown how to use that once they're given that?
They are shown. They're actually given a kind of a little write-up on how to really, I would say, make the painting work for them. So it really can be used as a meditation tool. And we suggest that you hang the picture in a place of honor. If you've got a place where you keep all of your Buddhas or your crystals or anything like that, if you just want to hang it on the wall, it's just a really good thing to put it and place it in a location where you're going to see it every day. It reminds you of those shifts in energy that are taking place, that need to be taken place. But it's really interesting because, you know, in the metaphysical world, they say what is observed is changed. So what we, like Rochelle said, we're channeling an information that is many times very psychologically deep information to bring up this unconscious information so that you can move through it and move forward on your path. And the painting helps you with actually sitting down and doing that. You can actually see the energy outside of yourself. And again, what is observed is changed. Once the energy is really outside of you, those shifts can even happen more quickly. Now, so many times there are symbols that show up, and Rochelle can state this too. She has seen the symbols all over the place, but yeah. I get symbols. And the symbols can be a million different things, but those symbols always show up in the physical form. And Tim, at the event last year, or this past year, in my Paracon, there was a client, Rochelle, do you remember this? We channeled for her, we did her painting for her, and she, before she came in, she had noticed a painting on the wall at the hotel that she just loved, absolutely loved.
I do remember that.
Course, there were the colors, and she came in, we channeled for her, we painted for her. When she left, she walked out of that room, and again, we talk about those symbols and images and colors showing up in the physical form, right? So she comes back into the room with Rochelle and myself, and she's freaking out. She's like, you've got to come here, you've got to come see this. I was just commenting on this painting on the wall before I came into your workshop, and Rochelle and I followed her and her husband out to the hallway, and you know what? That painting that I did for her was so it was just crazy. The different the colors were the same. The placement of the colors were the same. Now mine was more abstract, of course, but it was the exact same energy that was in that painting. It was a replica of the symbol that she saw right before. It was just a symbol of her own energy. It was recognizing the mirror for her. So just very, very cool thing.
Which is probably why she appreciated that. She could identify with it even if she didn't realize it. So that's pretty neat.
It was awesome because I remember, too, it was the same shapes.
Yeah, it was. It's actually up on Facebook. You can find it there. But it's her in front of that painting. We took a picture of it, and there's red. There was like a blanket on the horse and the red. It was just really, really cool to be able to immediately see the symbol right then. Very cool.
Totally.
Now, real quick for our listeners who are listening right now, what are the websites that they can go and get the information on both you, Courtney, and Rochelle? Facebook pages and websites, where can they go? Well, Courtney, why don't you go first?
Well, I will tell you that we right now, the website is, if you go to CourtneyCain.com and RochelleSparrow.com, they all right now are linking to SparrowCain.com. Soon those will be beautiful new individual websites, but you can go there and that will be happening, I would say, within the next week. So you can find us there and also on Facebook under Courtney Cain and Courtney Cain on Facebook. And if I can say for you, Rochelle Sparrow on Facebook.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right. So very good. So CourtneyCain.com, RochelleSparrow.com, and the same names as well on Facebook. And one thing I love about the face following you guys on Facebook, there's like every day there's like positive messages you guys send out. And, you know, I don't know if you guys, you probably don't realize it as much how many people read those and how it does affect the daily lives of people just picking up on those positive messages you guys send out.
Well, I hope so. I know for me, I think of these things as I'm running or I'm processing my own psychological stuff. And it's really from my own psychology of what's happened to me on a daily basis. So it's messages that are really coming from my own way of moving through things that are possibly difficult or are possibly challenging, and I found a way to move through those things. So I'd like to share information that truly certainly has been empowering to me and hopefully empowering to other people.
Now, have you guys ever, in your work together, Rochelle and Courtney, again, Rochelle does the channeling and Courtney, you do the art. Have you ever found, like maybe, Courtney, you're coming up with something different than Rochelle, you're painting something that doesn't quite jive with, does it work that way? Have you guys ever, like, picked up on two different things on one person?
Oh, 100%. There's many times that we do get the same information, which is cool because we just absolutely now, it's kind of funny because I feel like that information needs to be pounded into their head or they really need to hear it. But when we get different information, what happens is that Rochelle will have the information that needs to be looked at, and then I will have the solution that needs to be moved through and the solution to getting to there. And that goes the other way around, too. Sometimes Rochelle will have the solution, and I will have the issue that needs to be looked at. So it's always complementary, and it always is it's always in a really good, I would say, really good relationship with each other. And Rochelle just typed the yin and the yang. That's exactly what it is. Yep.
If you two had to, because I've talked to, you know, spoken with other folks in the past who have the ability to read and help others, but it seems like they all have a different way of seeing or getting the messages or receiving the messages. If you guys, Rochelle, could you do the art and Courtney, could you do the channeling? Is this an interchangeable thing? Do you guys see the thing same way or is it completely different for you?
I don't know. I've never tried it.
Well, actually, I would have to disagree. Rochelle does actually paint, and I've seen some of her paintings. She doesn't do it in terms of her channeling while she's working, but she does paint. She could absolutely do it. And Rochelle, she does. You do, and she does see symbols too. So I have to say yes. And I would say we do get it. It's just whether or not that's the way I think that we want to channel the information, if you will.
Yeah, I've never actually tried it, but Courtney, if you think I could do it, I'd be kind of funny to find out, huh?
Yeah, it would be kind of cool, but
yeah.
I do. I've seen some of her stuff, and she could, and we do get a lot of the same information. I think that our guides do work together when we are together and working. But that is a really good question, Tim. But I think that yes, that it just is how we prefer to get the information across, how we prefer to give it.
Sure, sure.
I think being able to do that type of art and everything, it's just so interesting to begin with. And I'm wondering how that came to be, how you were first inspired to do that, or how you found out you even could do that.
Well, I worked for a company, and it's like meditation times 10, and was there for quite a few years, and it was something where I could pretty much meditate all day long at work. It was a really, really, really cool experience, and I went to locations, I would say in my brain, in my own being, and tapped into, I would say, that psychic door, and I, as a child, had kind of learned to close it. And it really kind of opened up for me. And while sitting in meditation, I started to connect with my own guides and started to receive these images. And I literally, in meditation, had to sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil or something. And I literally had to get these symbols and images out of my head. I was then told through meditation to start painting, and I thought I was kind of crazy, and I thought, okay, fine, I'll start doing that. And I just really followed my knowing, and was really freaked out when I did my first session with somebody, and just really trusted it. And that was really the start of it. Now, Rochelle pulled me kicking and screaming out of the closet.
Yes, I did.
She kind of found out about what I was doing, and it was all history after that.
Yeah, I walked in and saw her paintings and said, "Do you know what you're doing?" And she said no, because she wanted to hide it. And I said, "Well, you're doing energy paintings." And she was out of the closet from that day forward. So,
did you guys know each other prior to that?
Yeah.
You did? Okay.
Oh, yeah. We've known each other for years because our daughters have been friends for years. They're the same age, and they're the best of friends. So we've had a very long relationship together.
Sisters.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I first met you guys in August, I mean, I could tell there was a bond there that was, it was beyond, you know, quote unquote coworkers. There was something special there. Now, Courtney, how did your family accept the information once you started to come out with this?
That's such a great question. I'm a little girl from El Reno, Oklahoma, and have sisters. A lot of my family, my parents had both passed, and which is also part of why my abilities kind of strengthened as I got older. And I would say very bashful. I remember telling my godmother and godfather about what I was doing, and I was crying telling them, because I was afraid of them judging me. And of course they were so sweet and so loving about it. And I told my ex, and who was the wonderful father of my daughter, and I told him, and he said, "Oh my God, Courtney, that sounds perfect for you." And that's actually been the response that I've gotten, is that it was almost like people knew this, and they knew that I was following, I would say, the gifts and abilities that were my own. And sometimes it takes us a little longer to catch on than it does for others. I think sometimes people see our little traits inside of us before sometimes we see them for ourselves. But I was really scared. I was really, really scared to come out of the closet. But when I did, it was more in my own head. It was more of my own fear. And once I got past those blocks, it's actually been a really beautiful, I would say, transition.
And have you completely? I'm sorry. I was reading Chris Post there. She was all excited because you mentioned Oklahoma.
Yay!
I totally lost my question here, Chris.
Sorry.
Oklahoma girls.
That's right. And you know, one of the things too, I can kind of understand being afraid to even talk about those sorts of things, because you know, I love our state. I love this area, but they're not the most open-minded in this area about a lot of things. It's getting better in the last probably 10, 15 years. It's gotten a lot better.
Right.
But you just didn't walk around talking about that sort of thing.
No. And I even had a sister who, not too long ago, and she was teasing, but she was kind of serious in her own right. But she was like, oh no, go do your, and I think the term that she used is your voodoo stuff. And I looked at her and I was like, what are you talking about? Like, this is, for me, this is my connection. I call it source to God, to everything. Like, how much more connected could you be? How could it be negative? So I think that people are catching on. And, you know, what, there was even a paranormal convention in the little town I was that I'm from not too long ago. And I think that that's what is so funny about it is you're right, is people are catching on, people are. And I think it's, you know, TAPS. I think TAPS did a lot for a lot of us in the paranormal, spiritual realms. It's on TV, it's out there. And people are just embracing it a lot more. And I think that that makes me happy.
Okay, I remember my question now. Did you find out, Courtney, once you started opening up to your family, you hear this a lot too, they find out that it'll skip a generation or two, but someone within the family had that ability as well. Did you find that?
I have to tell a really quick story. Yes, I went to Oklahoma. This was probably 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, my sisters knew what I did. I wasn't completely out of the closet with a couple little people in my family. And my grandmother was she was the matriarch, and she was the only living family that we had other than my sisters. I went to visit. I lost my voice the moment I walked in my grandmother's door. And I loved her, loved the woman more than anything. But if I could speak, I would have tried to control the conversation. Rochelle knows me and a little bit about my control issues, don't you, Rochelle? But I sat there and she started telling me stories. And she started telling me stories about the dreams and connections that she had had as a child and growing up with people who had passed. Tim and Chris, those were the same connections that I have. They were the same way that she got information was the exact same way I get information. And if I was not sick, I would have never have known that. She never told anybody that. And it, I tell you, has given me so much peace. And I knew my father was connected. So there's three generations that I know of that were highly psychic. And I know some of my sisters are, but it's whether or not they tap into it or not. I believe we all have our own gifts, and it's really whether or not we want to uncover them or not.
All right. If you're just joining us tonight on TAPS Family Radio, our special guests this evening are psychic channeling and psychic art, Rochelle Sparrow and Courtney Kane. Now, we just heard the path Courtney took to get to where she is today. Rochelle, I hope you're ready. We're coming to you now. Let's get the history behind Rochelle Sparrow.
Well, it's a long one. But basically, I had a really traumatic childhood. And through my traumatic childhood, I successfully worked my way through it, and I worked my way through it through basically looking at the natural world. I was really very interested in talking to trees and being outside and really observing birds and animals in different ways. And I didn't understand it then, and I didn't have a particular label to explain what I was doing, but I was very shamanistic, actually, in my approach to life. And I was very, very interested in psychology. So as soon as I, the energy you bring is fantastic. Thank you so much. That's from Tim, everybody. So thank you all for listening. But but what happened is that I became very, very interested in psychology. I was very interested in symbolism, Courtney, which is really interesting because I never thought about telling you this, but when I was going to school, when I actually still lived in my traumatic environment with my caretakers, I took a symbolic class.
Wow.
And yeah, isn't that interesting? It's for some reason, it's coming up for me right now. I never told this story to you before. I never told this story. But basically, what we had to do is we had to take things like pictures of an umbrella and describe perhaps 10 meanings that we could ascribe to the umbrella. And I was actually very good at that. People were stuck and they were stunned as to what to do, but I knew precisely what to do. I could just start reeling things off immediately as to what the umbrella could possibly symbolize and possibly be a metaphor for. So I had a natural knack that was already in place to meet you, Courtney.
Right.
And to understand your art. Isn't that funny? Which I'm just...
Very cool. I want to say that your daughter actually has a natural ability to do that too.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I never thought about that until this very moment. But basically, I have a natural knack for understanding symbolism. So I was very interested in psychology. So I started to get training, and I got my master's in social work in SUNY Albany. From there, I was a trained therapist. At the same time, I became interested in training as a shaman. So I started to attend all sorts of shamanistic workshops and meditation and going into trance states through drumming and all sorts of very odd and weird experiences. And through my particular trance experiences, in came the guides. So they started to talk to me, which I thought was kind of odd. And at the time, I was a mental health professional. And as we all go through, I had to come out of the closet and I had to admit that I heard voices while I was still working at the clinic. And fortunately, I was brave enough where, of course, some people thought I needed meds and I knew I didn't. So... So from those particular experiences, I just started to develop a relationship with my guides, and I worked very hard to discover how they imparted information, how they used information. So I was very interested in how they organized information, what it actually meant, what it did for me, what it did for people. It's been a very interesting relationship, which is still continuing. For example, I had a very odd experience last night where I woke up in the middle of the night from a dream, and there in the mist was this woman in the physical, in just on the left side of me in a Buddha position, and she went straight through the floor. Now, this was in my waking state. This was not in a dream state. So my abilities, once you begin to delve into expanding and exploring your abilities, this is for everyone, they really, really develop in a manner and way where they become very concrete in your life, where the dimensional entry between this dimension and other multidimensional states becomes quite unveiled, and you can travel from one dimensional state to another very easily. And that's where I'm at right now. That's really what's happening to me now.
That's a lot to take. That's the road you've taken to get here. I mean, it sounds like at any time, you know, you could have been derailed, if that's the way to put it. Like, you know, I mean, for you to come out and let people know when they were thinking that you needed to see a psychiatrist, I mean, that's got to take strength that a lot of people, a lot of us wouldn't have, I don't think.
Well, it did take strength. I was an analysis at the time with a Jungian analyst, and she pushed me. She pushed me to really not hide myself. So I credit myself, but I also credit my analyst at the time, who is a completely wonderful, beautiful woman. And I just so appreciate her because she really, really helped me come out of the closet in all ways and accept the totality of my reality. And my reality, as I said, isn't necessarily commonplace. It's very out of conventional norms. And I'm willing to share it and to accept it and to embrace it. So I'm not afraid to hide myself in any way, including all my personal psychological experiences, as well as my my spiritual / paranormal experiences, which seem to be getting odder and odder as years go by.
For you to still find them odd, Rochelle, with what you can see and experience, that's saying something for sure. We've got Courtney Kane and Rochelle Sparrow on with us this evening on Taps Family Radio. Chris, it sounds like we got a question from the chat room.
We do have a question. I want to remind people that if they would like to go in to the chat room to ask questions, they can do so. They can just run to our website. It's tapsfamilyradio.net and type them into the chat room, and we'll definitely try to get them on the air. The one I have right now is from Lionessa in the chat room, and she wants to know, do you think that everyone has some sort of latent psychic ability?
Courtney, you want to take that one?
I would say theory is absolutely. I believe we all have these certain gifts, maybe some different than the other. Maybe somebody hears things. Maybe somebody sees things. Maybe somebody feels something. But I do feel like the answer is a yes. I do feel like we all have those gifts. I feel like what happens is through our parents' gifts weren't, I want to say, accepted or nourished. Our parents' gifts weren't necessarily nourished or accepted. And what's happening through lifetimes and through years, I feel like we're all evolving, right? We are all raising consciousness. And I feel like we are finally starting to really embrace our children's gifts. We're embracing our own gifts. And I feel like that's why you're actually seeing more people be open to it, what it is that we all do, the paranormal, the psychic, all of it. I think that we all have a lot of different abilities. I had an aunt. My mother passed when I was 15 years old, and you know, we all understand that feeling of that void, that hard void that we feel when we lose somebody so close to us. And I certainly had that. Was scared. Didn't want to sleep in my bedroom by myself. So my father was sweet enough to let me sleep on my mom's side of the bed. And it took about 4 or 5 days. I had this dream, and my mother came to me, and she physically came to me and gave me the biggest, most wonderful hug, said that she was okay, told me not to worry, that she was okay, she was on the other side. I awoke that next morning with that void feeling completely gone. And I needed that feeling to be gone so I could move through it. Not that there wasn't sadness or things that needed to be looked at later in life, but for that moment, for me to move forward, I needed to have that interaction with her. I had an aunt that told me, you know, I shared my experience with only a few people, told my aunt, and my aunt, who is now passed, said, you know, Courtney, I believe that she came to you. And after she said that, every person that passed from my life, every friend, I had many, many friends that passed from the time I was 15 till I was about 26, so many family members, every one of them came to me either before they passed or a few days after they passed with information, with letting me know that they were okay, with information for other loved ones. And that for me was something, I do feel as though if my aunt did not confirm what I knew was true, I feel as though I could have possibly poo-pooed that. I could have put that off as to, you know, it was a dream or it was this and that, but I actually know that my mother came to me. And for me, that's a really beautiful thing. When we can validate other people's psychic gifts, and of course, Rochelle was validating my gift by walking in and understanding and knowing what I was doing when she walked into my dining room that day. When we do that for other people, we're actually really giving ourselves our own permission to move forward in our own gifts. So it's actually, it goes full circle for all of us.
You know, and I've wondered about that as far as even, like you mentioned, children and things like that, giving yourself permission, but also allowing your children that same permission and maybe even encouragement. Because I have people contact me a lot about children and what to do if their children are saying, and this is maybe my question to you, what to do if their children are starting to feel like they have these sorts of gifts? How do you address that with a child? Because, you know, a child, you're not sure if it's imagination, you're not sure what it is. So do you have any advice as to what we can tell those people?
Rochelle? What do you think?
Well, basically, first off, I don't think it's imagination. I have a daughter who's quite psychic. I remember a really long time ago, a friend of mine losing her pocketbook. And my daughter has a really great gift at finding things. And she must have been all of 3 years of age, maybe four, maybe three or four, very young. And I asked her, I said, so where is Linda's pocketbook? And she told me, she said, it's in between the bed and the wall. And sure enough, Linda went to look, and it was in between. And Linda first said to me when I told her that, oh, I looked there. And then she went to look, and there it was, in between the bed and the wall. And when I told Morgan that, Morgan said, well, she didn't look hard enough. So, yeah, she's amazing, my daughter. And I never leave it up to imagination as far as whatever information that comes through or messages. I trust the information that comes through her. And she's able to find things. She's able to, unfortunately, see through a lot of things, which can be kind of annoying at times. But there are no secrets in my household.
That's got to be tough. That's got to be a tough thing to have.
Oh, my God. But anyway, it's great. You know, it's just wonderful to have a child who has this wisdom and benefit from that, because I listen to her. And I think that's the problem, is that we really don't listen to our children, or we think that they don't know any better, or we are subconsciously or unconsciously afraid of listening to the information they do impart, because then it makes not only us different, it makes our children different, and then they're not going to fit into the culture or into the world in a way that perhaps may feel unsafe to us. So we tend to suppress our children, and we tend to suppress their gifts, just like Courtney was bringing up, that people aren't necessarily nourished. Right, they're right. Not necessarily validated in terms of their own natural gifts, that somehow they have been placed into a box with a lot of rules and regulations regarding their humanity and their natural state of mind, when in fact we do not need those rules, and we do not need to be placed into a box. Humans are actually okay, and their our natural state as humans is okay to be. We do not need morality to direct our particular actions. We actually need our own particular abilities to move us into continuing states of not only helping ourselves, but helping other people. So when we nourish that in our children, it helps them to trust who they are. And what's happened is there's so much in the culture that has lent itself to distrusting who we naturally are. And if we can provide our children with the confidence that they need in trusting their own natural humanity, they can really continue with not only helping themselves, but helping the world be a better place.
Well, I like it.
You know, I guess it can be viewed the same as you would anything you hope to support your children in doing. And, you know, if they wanted to, I'm not trying to minimize this at all, but if they wanted to play basketball, you're going to try to do everything you can to support that, not tell them they're the worst basketball player in the world or anything like that. But I think you hit on a point that I hadn't really considered. It's also that you don't want people to view your children differently. And every parent wants their child to be accepted for who they are. And that is something that might bring fear to a parent. Well, you know, people are going to look at my child differently. And I never really thought about it that way before. So maybe people just need to, because they always ask me how to support their child. And I think it just comes down to, like you said, giving them the confidence. You don't really have to know, you know, exactly what to tell them, but just to let them believe in themselves and their abilities. And maybe that really is as simple as that.
Well, and I'd like to say, too, that, you know, Chris, you're from the location in the world where I'm from, where, you know, in Oklahoma, you know, my parents were always correct, right? If I were to talk back, if I were to do things that were not to make them happy, then I was a bad girl, or I was this and that. So when our children actually have their own opinions, when they actually share their own opinions, and we don't even see actually where those opinions are coming from. It's coming from their psychic information, their knowing, their owning of their own energy, and they share that information with us as parents. I have to say that at times I have been like, oh, like maybe I don't necessarily want my child to know something that she knows. And that feels uncomfortable at times. But you know what? It's all about approaching, I think, our children with honesty. And when they come to us with something, even if it's about us, even if it's about our relationships with their other family members, when they come to us and they're correct, I think that it is absolutely 100% up to us to be honest with them. And in that, I think our children grow. They, again, own their own information. They own their own knowledge.
Ooh, I like that too.
Yeah. Ooh, thank you.
We're getting some great quotes here, some great one-liners today.
Yeah,
own
their own information. I like that.
Let me ask this of you ladies, and it doesn't matter who answers. And I only asked this because I saw it come up in the chat room. They didn't ask it as a question, so I don't want to give their name, but I found it very interesting. They said that spirit activity picks up in their house when they tend to be doing, you know, maybe making a wrong life choice decision or doing something that they shouldn't be in a way. Do you think maybe, and this is a great way to tie into what Chris and I do as paranormal investigators and what you guys do, and maybe this could shed a little light on some things. Do you think that maybe there's a lot of people out there who are attributing a haunting, a quote-unquote haunting, to maybe actually being in touch with their spirit guides, and they're trying to communicate to them, and they don't realize it?
Well, yes, but Rochelle and I actually have done a lot of paranormal investigations together, and what we have found, and we actually are getting ready to start doing a lot more for fun for us together.
So, you guys on my team, move up north. I want you on my team.
You haunt. We are there.
No fair. She's from Oklahoma, or at least one of them is. I get first dibs. That's just not fair.
Chris, welcome to Oklahoma, too, whatever you want to do. We're all of yours. We'll share. But I tell you that what Rochelle and I have found, which is really interesting for the both of us, and we've seen this, I would say, in our own homes, in our own lives, is that I would say whatever's happening in our unconscious or our psychological process and our relationships with our husbands or our relationships with our children can come up and what I would say some say is paranormal activity in their home. It definitely comes out in the physical form, and it definitely shows up as energy in the home. So yes.
Okay. That as soon as she said that, and it just happened to be that, you know, we had you guys on. It, by the way, her name was Nikki. She said we could say her name. She was excited that we used that. thank you, Nikki. That was a great, because as soon as she said that, I thought, you know, what if? I mean, if they're communicating with her, what most people would think is maybe a haunting, that there are spirits trying to communicate to them, it's actually their ability to communicate.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. Great. Absolutely. Very good.
Very easy. Simple yes.
Yes.
Courtney Cade and Rochelle Sparrow, our guests this evening. Ladies, you have a book out there called Within the Power of the Universal Mind. Let's talk about this book. This book is chock full of information. I mean, Chris, I know you love mind-stimulating reads. You've got to get your hands on this book, girl, because you're going to love it.
It sounds like it. Yeah, definitely.
Let's talk about the book. What can people expect to get from it when they read it? What was your hope when you guys put this book out there?
Well, we really hoped, and I'm suggesting that I'm speaking for you, Courtney. Interrupt me if I'm incorrect, but I think we really hope to really help people understand a way of looking at the natural world. So what I did was I put together ideas from psychology, from my experience as a shaman, and developed a psychology with Courtney's influence and help and understanding of how the natural world worked, and basically how we both see it working in the book. Is that we see the world created from the energy inside of us, and that energy mirrors itself outside of us, our internal energy, constantly, moment by moment. So Jungian an analyst use the term synchronicity. But synchronicity really speaks to particular meanings about specific events. We disagree with that. We believe that energy is continually mirrored 24/7. It doesn't have to have a specific meaning to be understood through our conscious awareness of what's happening inside of our energy through looking at our external energy. So literally, we put together a method in which people can develop self-awareness through looking at the mirror outside of themselves continually by looking at their internal energy. And that way they can develop a way that they can begin to heal a lot of particular possibly conflicts that they've had all their lives, that they haven't had a method of really becoming very aware of what's causing problems between them and their coworkers, or them and their husbands, or them and their children. So this method is really directed to help people move out of a sense of denial about whatever problems they may be having, and to address those particular problems in a very concrete way with help from the external world that they live in, so that they can move psychologically forward in their life. Because that's really and truly how we create our lives. We create our lives through our internal energy. There is no other way. If it was all very simple in terms of positive thinking, etc., then of course we wouldn't need books such as ours.
And we wouldn't
need psychologists, and we wouldn't need therapists, and we wouldn't need the things that we need in our lives to help us heal. So we really developed a method to really begin to take a look at what's happening inside of ourselves to address the things that perhaps cause our anxiety, our depression, our problems in our lives. And that's what this book is about.
And there's a part of the book, Courtney, which I just found out here tonight because you and I were talking before we went on the air, that Santa brought us each the same gift this year for Christmas. So we both got an iPod Touch. And you guys, I didn't realize this, it's part of the book that people can bring along with them now, too. There's an app that people can download for their phones. Let's hear about that.
There is an app, and that app in the book that Rochelle is talking about, our wonderful book, Within the Power of Universal Mind, there it also comes with a deck of 24 cards, and they are, if I do say so myself, beautiful paintings, and with really extensive messages on each of them. And we, like you are just saying, Tim, we absolutely had to make an app for this. It was just so cool. We were very proud of these cards. So we made an app. It's called the Source Deck, and you can buy it on iTunes. There's a free version and a 99-cent version, so very, of course, affordable. But it's there for you. And, Tim, I think that that's supposed to be your second app that you're going to download, correct?
I already have, actually.
Woohoo!
Yes. Good. I am now an owner of the Source Deck, and I'll be checking that out tonight.
Good, good. Well, you can, I've had a lot of people that I know have actually been using those cards, and I went back to Oklahoma, and was with a friend who fell upon the app, and I could not get her to quit talking about it. She was like, I just asked him a question. How did it know that? It was so right on. So what's really, really interesting is that the information that comes through is just so... So I would just say very cool. It's so authentic. It so relates to the person's question. It gives you a universal law to look at, and then it gives you the solution to the issue. So you can ask it a question, and much like I would compare it to an eight ball. So you kind of you ask the question, you put your fingerprint there, it reads the energy, and then you're given two cards, and that's your information for your question. So it's just a really, really cool app. And I'm just not on Android yet, but soon. We're hoping to be on Android soon.
We have to wait, but I will definitely get it when it's on Android.
We ran into the same problem when we were putting together our app as well, so we understand.
All right.
Yeah, Android's a little bit tougher to work out, but we've got the Apples out there, and it is for yours as well, and then Android coming soon. So that's really cool. I'm really looking forward to checking that out tonight. Chris, do we have a question from the chat room?
We do. I have one more question from Grace, and you kind of hit on this a little bit, and I bet your book would really lead her more where she needs to go. But her question is, you know, when you're working to enhance your abilities, how do you go about doing that without feeling fear of it? And I wanted her to clarify that a little bit. And she's talking about people who know they do have some ability, but that it's a little bit scary to develop that. They're not sure what's going to happen. Or you know, I often hear people, and this wasn't in Grace's question, but I often hear people that say they're afraid to develop their abilities because they're not sure they'll be able to control it and turn it off and on. Or even just make it stop for a little while. You know what I mean? So how would you go about addressing the fear as you enhance your abilities or develop?
Well, Michelle, why don't you take that one?
Okay. I think you can't get rid of the fear. It's something that you can naturally work with and accept. Anything new is going to bring on a certain kind of uncertainty or a certain kind of discomfort because you're dealing with the unknown. So to expect yourself to be not fearful is completely not realistic. Expect yourself to be fearful, but also expect yourself to be really trustworthy of you. Really begin to trust you. The fear partly is due also to doubt of yourself, because also part of the fear is this. Well, oh my God, what if I do have this ability? That's really going to make me powerful. Yep. And the power that I have for me is really frightening. So it's not just the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of really and truly embracing your own power. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if you embrace your own power, what is this going to do for your life? And how are people really going to begin to see you if you come out in terms of who you really are? So again, we're coming back to that same issue of, oh my God, I'm going to be really different, or I'm going to be seen as crazy or wacky or woohoo or whatever. And yeah, and there is that particular possibility. But there's also the particular possibility of being able to enhance your life in a way that is completely unknown to you and yet completely life-fulfilling to you simultaneously. So it's a matter of adjusting your sights, so to speak, and understanding that as you continue to delve deeper into who you really are, that you have more of you for your own use in your life to help you in every way possible, to help you fulfill your own happiness, to help you fulfill your relationships, to help you fulfill what you wish to accomplish and to do in your life. So, yes, there's going to be fear. But the fear, again, is not necessarily something that needs to be controlled. Why control something that can help you trust in you or to be in a situation where you connect more with the unknown? Yes, of course, there are certain things that you don't wish to connect with in the spirit world. That aren't necessarily good for you, but trust in your ability to discern what is good for you and what isn't good for you. It's going to be a learning curve. So what? You possibly went to school, or you possibly went to college, or you possibly engaged in a relationship, or you possibly had a new job, or you possibly had children. You had all sorts of commitments that you went into that you couldn't control the outcome and you didn't know what was going to happen, but you did it anyway. So this is the same kind of thing where you're really just moving into your own self-development, whatever that brings, and you can trust yourself and you can trust your ability and have confidence in your ability to negotiate the unknown.
you know, you said something there that was some basic, really good advice that a college professor gave me when I had to travel across country and speak to this huge crowd. And I said, he said, how you feeling? And I said, I'm really scared. And he said, it's okay to be scared. Just do it anyway. Yep. And once you're given that permission to be afraid, then it doesn't seem as bad to be scared to do it. You know what I mean? So it's a great advice on that.
I think you need to stay in a constant state of moving when you feel the fear. When you stop and stay in that fear, I think that's when I think people get possibly stagnant, or they're just kind of wallowing in that fear. I think it's, again, stuck. Rochelle just said stuck. It's a constant state of being stuck, or you can be in a constant state of moving forward. And within moving forward, you are going to have fear, you're going to have joy, you're going to have all of those different emotions with your own particular gifts.
Ladies, I can't believe we have almost run out of time here. This time just flew by. Now, I do have one quick question out there, and I don't know if you're even going to have an answer for this. I don't know if through your abilities to tap into the energy and everything around us, do you foresee, and I'm not, you know, I'm not asking like end of the world or anything like that, but a lot of people have, you know, thoughts about 2012 coming up. Are you guys able to get a feeling of, you know, what we can expect energy-wise, good things coming for us in 2012? What can you say about that?
Should I take this one, Court?
Go ahead and take it.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, first off, that the answer lies in the fact that the calendar ends.
Right.
So what does that mean? I mean, that to me is an actual message that it ends. So, okay, so the predictions end. So what does that mean in terms of us? Does it mean that we have the responsibility now to make a choice, that we need to really become accountable for ourselves and our world around us? Do we have choices to continue to evolve or to continue to be destructive? So I think that handing over that responsibility to ourselves through the calendar ending is the precise message of what's occurring. So we really need to take a look at the state of affairs, not just, of course, in the economy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but in the way that we treat each other, the way that we treat ourselves. And what are we going to do about that? Are we going to hand over our responsibility to the government or perhaps the culture or some convention? Or are we going to take on that particular responsibility of caring for ourselves and each other? And that's a real problem. I don't think we do enough of that.
All right. Courtney, do you have anything you want to add to that?
I think that what Rochelle said is absolutely right on. I think that's exactly it. Responsibility or no responsibility. What are we going to do? And I think I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen with us. I've seen it happen in my relationship at home. I've seen it happen all over the place. But it's pushing people to find out where it is that their energy lies, where it is that their space is. And I think that each of us have to find our own space within this higher consciousness. I really, really think that that's what's happening, is we are all having to rearrange the way that we've done things our whole lives. Things do have to change, and we have to find out what works for us. And we have to be real honest about that. And when we're honest with each other, when we support each other by supporting our own gifts, it's all okay. It's all okay.
I love it. You two always have such a great positive message. They are the authors of Within the Power of Universal Mind. You can find them at RochelleSparrow.com, CourtneyCain.com. Find them both on Facebook. And real quick, too, you guys also have a radio show as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
Go ahead. Get a quick plug in for it.
We have a radio show Monday nights. On your Hour of Power on Para X Radio. Rochelle, what time is it? I don't know what time our show comes on.
I'm like 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and trying to figure out the Arizona time is so funny. But 9 o'clock EST.
Perfect. EST Eastern Time. All right, very good. And I know you guys are also reoccurring guests on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. That's big stuff. Ladies, thank you so much for taking time to be with us tonight, and Happy New Year, all right?
Oh, well, thank you.
Talk to you soon. Bye, Chris. Bye, Tim. Bye, everybody at Family Radio, Taps Radio.
Yes, thank you, ladies. Courtney Cain, Rochelle Sparrow. We'll be right back with Larry the Mail Guy here on Taps Family Radio on Jackalope Radio.
You're listening to Taps Family Radio, the coolest place on the web.
When you hear strange noises in the night, when unexplained shadows move through the halls, when you feel there's nowhere you can turn, we're here to help. The Southern Paranormal and Anomaly Research Society. We're a proud Taps Family member with chapters in Mississippi, Georgia, and South Carolina. Our dedicated team of investigators is ready to assist you. With professionalism and the utmost discretion, we'll help you understand what you've been experiencing. The Southern Paranormal and Anomaly Research Society. Because at times like this, you don't simply need proof. You need answers. For more information, visit us on the web at www.spars-paranormal.com.
When you need to know what goes bump in the night, contact the Wausau Paranormal Research Society, serving the entire state of Wisconsin. Investigations are free of charge and completely confidential. You'll receive objective, scientific analysis of the activity in your home. The goal is to provide you with a rational explanation for what you're seeing or hearing. The Wausau Paranormal Research Society, where the paranormal and reality meet. To schedule an investigation, visit WPRS.net.
And welcome back to Taps Family Radio. It is Tim Ellis and Chris Perkins with you. TFR live on this 27th day of December, just 2 days after the big Christmas. So we appreciate everyone being with us. No matter what holiday you're celebrating, though, happy holidays to all. And thanks for being with us here tonight on Jackalope Radio. Again, we want to thank Rochelle Sparrow and Courtney Kane, psychic channeling and psychic art and very positive messages. Great ladies. I'm glad we had a chance to have them on the show. And their book is Within the Power of Universal Mind. But right now, we are ready to welcome to the show in our last 9-10 minutes here, of course, Larry the Mail Guy. It's time for Mailbag. Larry, hey, happy holidays. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Hey, you too, buddy. I hope you guys had a good weekend.
We did. We were talking about this, actually, with Wichita, Kansas. They were saying, I know Sherry was saying she was excited because she got some ghost hunting equipment. Chris or Larry, did you guys get any ghost hunting stuff?
You know, I didn't. No, I didn't. I don't think.
Really?
Isn't that strange?
Did you get that many presents, Chris, that you have to sort through them?
Let me go through the inventory. No, I really don't think I did this year. But, you know, you get to a point where it's hard for anybody to figure out what you still need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. No. Did you get any toys?
I did not. I did not get any toys. But I got money, so that money could buy more toys.
Oh, who are we kidding? That money is going to buy toys. We know it right off.
There may or may not be some stuff on the way. Who knows?
What do we got? Our last mailbag question session of 2011. What do we got tonight?
I got a couple. Okay. One is one that we've talked about on Paracom Radio quite a bit. The first one is from a gentleman named Michael C. He says, I'm new to the field. And I've talked to a few other teams around the area, and they've warned me about possibly bringing something home with me. Have you guys dealt with that, and how do you prevent it from happening in the future?
I've heard of it. I've heard of it a lot. I don't know. You know, sometimes I think it's my imagination sometimes, because I've talked to a few people who are a little more into the metaphysical side of things, and you know, they talk about these things called elementals, which will follow you from a location, but only actually stay with you for a couple days until they get bored and move on. It might be my imagination and it just kind of the creepiness of coming out of a long night of being in the dark and investigating. And the next couple of days I'm home and, you know, I kind of will look over my shoulder a little bit more, you know, and I think it's more my imagination than anything. I don't think anything truly has ever followed me home. No one in our team has ever reported it happening. So it's never happened to me. I have heard it. I've got my own ways I go about things before I head into an investigation. You know, coming from a Christian background and a Christian belief, I have some prayers that I say before I head into an investigation. But that's just me. That's just what I do. But I can't say I've ever experienced anything following me home yet. Knock on wood.
You know, I've heard of it too. My concern, or not my concern, but my problem with this is, how do you know it followed you home?
Right.
We've had things that have happened in my house that we couldn't explain, but I can't tell you that it followed me home or that it didn't just come along, you know, on its own. So that would be my thing. And I think it's important for whoever's involved in doing this type of thing, if they feel it's important to protect themselves, to do it in a way that's meaningful for them, like Tim said. So right. Regardless of whether or not they're going to follow you home, if that need to protect yourself is there, then do so.
You know, myself, I'm not going to say, like, I'm kind of with you, Chris. I can't say that it followed me home or not. I will say that I've went to an investigation that was active, and then shortly after, like within a day or so, activity out of nowhere starts taking place in my house. That's happened to me 2 or 3 times. And to deal with that, I just, you know, kind of take charge. It's my house, you know. I deal with it enough on an everyday basis. I don't want to live with it too.
Right.
But I'm kind of with Tim on this. You know, I come from a Christian, you know, background, and you know, it's just about what you believe and what you feel is going to be the best step to protect yourself. So it's kind of a personal thing. But I'm not going to say I've dealt with it, but I've dealt with something that could possibly be it. So who knows?
Yeah. So, you know, to answer the question, we've all heard of it, and you know, I suppose it could be a possibility. So just do whatever your beliefs are to protect yourself. Like Chris said, I think that's the best answer we can give.
Absolutely. This next one is from a gentleman named Kyle, and this one kind of made me laugh because I know that I've been around it, and I know that Chris and some of her team members have experimented with it. It says, I've heard of people charging the air either with an ion charger or a stun gun. Do you think this actually works?
Stun gun. Ooh,
we have done that. We did that with that very item, actually.
Well, you guys did it. You guys did it when you came down and investigated a location with us, didn't you?
Gosh, you know what? I can't remember. We did it quite a bit with not only the stun gun, but also with the ionizing. Oh, what are they called? The fans. The ionizing fans.
Right.
Ionic, whatever. We did with those. Our problem was, you know, we felt like we got increased results, but we don't know that it was necessarily an increase due to that. The theory made sense to us. It was kind of fun. I know if we did do that with you, Larry, we probably tried to scare you with it because, you know, we're just that way. But because it's loud and it's disruptive, and Larry jumps and looks very funny. But anyway, you know, I think that we did try it. I can't guarantee you that it increased any of our results at all. But I think, you know, anytime a team stumbles across a theory like that and wants to try it out, they should find ways to try it.
I can't say we've never experimented with that as far as putting a little more static electricity in the air. We have with electromagnetic field, like actually a version of the EM pump we've experienced with that. This thing is the first time I ever saw an EM pump was on a ghost show on TV. I saw that about 2 weeks after. A while back, I had gone to my tech team. I said, here's the idea I've got. I want you guys to create a movable EMF field. Create something that will create energy so we can plug it in wherever we go and always keep a camera fixed on it. This, you know, can you guys do this? Yeah, absolutely. No problem. We still use it. I've never went out and bought an EM pump because we actually made our own, and I was all excited. And then 2 weeks later, I see it on TV, and I'm like, you know, okay, we could have been rich. But the thing is, ours could burn down a small city. So we, you know, we only let the tech team hook it up and set it up, but it works. It actually creates a field. I can't say we have ever documented anything either that we can definitively say we picked something up on camera because of this piece of equipment. But we still use it. Why wouldn't we? You know, it's every little bit of tool we can use.
Could it be possible that when you start using it, that I don't really want to use the word like the placebo effect or whatever, but you maybe, I'm not really say imagine it, but maybe you read a little too much into something.
Or become more aware. Maybe you're watching a little closer. I think that's a definite possibility.
Sure.
I think in order to really determine whether or not something like this is effective, you need to do extensive investigating at one location. I know we've had places that we investigated for 3 or 4 years at a time, and be able to that way document what your results are on a lengthy basis without that piece of equipment, and then match that time frame with the piece of equipment over a long period of time. And I think it would take a lot of focus and a lot of effort to really be able to prove that that increased your results.
Good points, all. All right, real quick, Larry the Mail Guy, where can people send you mailbag questions at?
You can send any questions to tfradiomailguy@gmail.com.
All right. Repeat that one more time, please.
Hold on. Now, see, I'll get it right.
Oh, very I can't funny. Speak for see, Chris, all right. But... You know, it was an accident.
that email address is tfradiomailguy@gmail.com.
All right. Very good. Get the questions in and let's hear from you. We want to wish a very happy new year to all of our listeners. Thank you for being out there, because without you, we do not have a show. May 2012 bring you everything that you wish for. And on behalf of our producer, Cormac Strain, Larry the Mail Guy, and my co-host, Chris Perkins, my name is Tim Ellis. We're signing off from 2011. This is Taps Family Radio on Jackalope Radio. Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to Taps Family Radio, the safest place in the paranormal world. Join us every Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 Pacific on the new home for Taps Family Radio, Jackalope Radio.